Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen. We want to thank you once again for being in the household of the Lord. It's good to see you out tonight, and we pray that tonight will be a means of encouraging you in your faith as you are ending this year knowing Him. We've talked about how to know Him throughout this whole year. We want to know the power of His resurrection. We want to know the fellowship of His suffering. And we also want to set an example. And we've come tonight to learn in that regards. This will be the last sermon in the series. As we've been talking about all this month, keep your eyes. Philippians chapter 3:17 says, join together in following my example, brethren and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. We've been talking all throughout this month, been challenging you to keep your eyes. And I was thinking about this as I know that there are not only those who listen here, but listen on the internet. What if you were listening this month and you don't have eyes, or you can't see from the eyes that you have? And before we end this series, we want to let you know that it's more than just about the eyes. It's more than just about the eyes. As we are going to study a lesson tonight entitled Vision Without Sight. Vision Without Sight. We're going to learn tonight from the text that there was a man in the text that didn't have eyes or couldn't see from his eyes. But he had to use what he had to get what he wanted. And he had to use two things in this text tonight. He had to use his ears. So you could say, keep your ears on Jesus. And not only did he have to use his ears, but he also had to use his voice. God never leaves you without something to keep on Him. Amen. Vision without sight. We're going to look at Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. It's three slides, and in your handouts. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three.
Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and
Amen and praise the Lord. Again, tonight we're looking at a lesson entitled Vision Without Sight. Vision Without Sight. And tonight we're going to look on around 3 points. We're going to talk about the vision of the optical. We're going to talk about the vision of the opportunity. And then we're going to talk about the vision of the obstacle. And want Christians to know tonight that Christians should keep their eyes on Jesus even if they cannot see with their corneas. Christians should keep their eyes on Jesus even if they cannot see with their corneas. I can only imagine what it was like to be this man in the text. A man simply described in the text we're looking at as a blind man sitting by the road begging. I can imagine what it's like to be blind. Being blind simply meaning not being able to see. It scares me sometimes when I'm here at the church and I'm locking up and I turn out all the lights and I'm in the dark. This can be a very creepy place in the dark. But I can imagine that this blind man was like what it's like to be here at church in the quiet and in the dark with no light. Not only did he have, was not able to see, but he wouldn't be able to have vision for his life. After all, what can a blind man do but simply beg? This man was sitting on the side of the road in that place where the poet or the prophet or the philosopher of our time talked about how we all sit in a place of quiet desperation. Thoreau says that. I can imagine that this blind man was on the side of the road begging, either standing or sitting in a place of quiet desperation. And maybe he's like some of you who come tonight and you are here tonight. You can see, but you're here tonight in a place of a quiet desperation. You want your life to change. You believe that God has more for you, but it seems like that you're sitting in the dark, that your life is not going anywhere, and that there's nothing miraculous about the life that you're living. You're just in that place of quiet and desperation. You're in this place, and there's many things that can put you in a place of quiet desperation. Oh, like this man in the text, your handicap can put you in a place of quiet desperation. He couldn't see. There's somebody else here tonight. You're here and your handicap. Maybe we don't know what your handicap is. Maybe it's a financial thing. You're in the dark in your finances and you can't pay your bills and you're at that place of quiet desperation. Maybe it's in a marriage. Oh, you loved each other in the beginning, but now you're at that place of quiet desperation. Maybe, oh, you're concerned about your children. Everything else is going well. You're being blessed. Oh, but your children are themselves sitting in a place of quiet desperation, and you're concerned about your children. You're in that place of quiet desperation on the side of the road begging like this blind man. And life seems to have gotten you down. And it seems like that there is no hope. At least that there's no hope that you can see. Because you're like this blind man on the side of the road. Luke chapter 18 doesn't define who this man was, but it just defines him as being a blind man. But Mark gives us a little details. He gives the blind man a name. And they came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. And a blind man, and what is his name? Bartimaeus. So now, Mark gives us his name. We know that he's not just a blind man, but he has a name. We know that he's the son. He's somebody's son. And many times when we see someone who's handicapped in that place of quiet desperation, we can't relate because we like Luke. We don't give him a name. Luke, being a doctor, didn't seem to. It seems that his writing was over him. He didn't give him a name. And many times we're like Luke, and we can see a person's infirmities, but we never want to know who that person is. We never want to know that person is somebody's son. That person is somebody's daughter. When you next time you see somebody on the side of the road, you need to know that person is a person. That person is somebody's son. Somebody's daughter. Maybe we need to personalize those who are broken and handicapped in our culture and in our society. Don't just look over them. As a matter of fact, you may have the answers to the problems of their desperation, but you will never know if you just look over them. And many people on that day, they just walked right past him, because we know that beggars, they make a living off of begging, but most people just walk right by him. Most people don't want to look at him. No, most people don't want to see him. Most people don't want to identify with their infirmities. But they are in many ways just like you. They're on the side of the road, but you're in that same quiet place of desperation at home, on the side of your bed. When you go to sleep at night, you're in that same quiet place of desperation on your couch. When you sit down, don't overlook the blind. Say to your neighbor. Oh, neighbor, don't overlook me. Don't overlook me. Don't overlook me. I may be blind, but that don't mean I can't see. I may be blind, I may be handicapped, but that doesn't mean that God is finished with me. Because many times, when you were blind, they would pose the question, as we were talking about in the series about God's power, they pose the question, now, why is this man blind? Is it because he has sinned, or is it because his parents have sinned? And we learned in that power series that man was blind not because his parents sinned. That man was blind not because he had sinned, but that man was blind because one day Jesus would show up and be able to get glory from his life. Hello, somebody. Guess what? This man in the text that Luke didn't even give a name. Mark gave him a name. Bartimaeus gave him a name. And this man tonight, if you listen, if you look, if you notice, if you just don't walk by, if you're willing to have some compassion, this blind man can teach you something tonight. This blind man tonight, again, he was blind, but it didn't mean that he didn't have vision. Because many of us are here today and we can see out of our two eyes, but we're as blind as he is and sitting in the dark with the things about the things of God. But this man, again, he was blind, but he had vision. And his opticals didn't work, his corneas didn't work, but he had vision. Tonight, God wants somebody to have vision without sight. As a matter of fact, that's what faith is all about. Faith is having vision without sight. Some of you are wondering how you're going to make it through. How are you going to make it through your blind desperation? You're going to make it through because God's going to give you some vision tonight. God's going to give you some faith tonight, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. God wants to give you some vision tonight. God wants to heal you tonight. But you've got to have enough faith to be healed. This man had a vision, but he had no opticals. And this man, what we see, learned that he has vision. Is that we learned that from our next point, the vision of opportunity. For in verse 26, it says that, and when he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what's happening? Wait a minute, Bartimaeus. Don't people walk by you all the time? Wait a minute, Bartimaeus. You make a living off of begging. Doesn't the crowd walk by you every day? This is where his vision comes in. He heard something different about the crowd. He heard something different about the hustle and bustle of the moment. He asked, now I can't see, but I can hear and I can speak. And I hear a vision. I hear an opportunity. I can't see, but I can hear, and I can use my voice. And he heard and he used his voice. And then they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I can't see, but I can hear. I can't see, but I can use my voice. I can't see, but I can use my mind. Oh, because I use my mind and I hear somebody by the name of Jesus. Not just any Jesus, but a Jesus that is identified with all of these miracles that are happening, all of these miracles that are going on. That's why the hustle and bustle of the time and of the day was a little different. There was an excitement about the crowd, and he asked, he couldn't see, but he used his voice. He couldn't see, but he used his mouth, and after he used that, he used his mind, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And we see that this man, just because he couldn't see, didn't mean that he was unintelligent. Just because he couldn't see, didn't mean that he was really handicapped, but there was no good thing about him. Oh, he was able to come to the conclusion that this man by the name of Jesus is everything that I need, everything that I want. And because he's everything that I need, because he's everything that I want, my vision begins to show me that this is an opportunity, and I use what I have to get what I want, and then I discern the opportunity, and then I say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Out of my quiet desperation. Oh, I was sitting on the side of the road. There was nothing good going for me. I heard a bustle. Oh, I heard an excitement. Oh, and then I heard the name Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. And then I realized that this is my moment. Oh, I believe Whitney Houston sung a song, "Give me one moment in time." Oh, and this was his one moment in time where he could dream and be all he thought he could be. This was his one moment in time where he could begin to believe by faith that he doesn't have to sit in the dark on the side of the road as a beggar all of his life. This is my moment. This is my time. I heard about Jesus, and because I heard he was from Nazareth, because I've heard about all his power, all of his mighty deeds, I realize that this is an opportunity. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was no longer in his quiet place of desperation. And that's what Jesus can do for you, whether you realize it or not. Oh, we do all have like he said, Thoreau says, that live a life of quiet desperation. And I believe the last part of that is that we go to our grave, oh, without having sung our song. Oh, the blind man had a song today. And it was a song about mercy. And it was a song about Jesus. And he wouldn't stay in that place of quiet desperation. He would get his song out that night. He would sing that song, oh, that hymn about the mercy of God. And he would call on Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I'm tired of being quiet. I'm tired of being desperate. I'm tired of being a beggar. I'm tired of being on the side of the road. And all of a sudden, I couldn't see, but I could hear. I couldn't see, but I could use my voice. I couldn't see, but I could use my mind. When they said, Jesus of Nazareth, I couldn't see. Oh, but I have a mind. I couldn't see. Oh, but I have a voice. And I used everything that I had that God had left me with. You see, some of you just see that you're handicapped. You look at what you don't have, as opposed to looking at what God has left behind. You look at what you don't have, and you take your destined to stay in this place of quiet desperation on the side of the road as a beggar. Oh, you don't have the right pedigree. You don't have the right connections. You don't have the right education. Oh, you didn't even graduate high school. You didn't go to seminary. Oh, you don't have nothing. No, that's what you think in your mind. And that's why you'll stay in that place of quiet desperation as a beggar on the side of the road. But God says tonight that he can give you vision without sight. God says tonight that he can help you see all what's left behind. And you take what's left behind and you use it. You use it for a vision of opportunity. He said, "Preacher, you don't know me. I'm in bankruptcy. I don't have nothing." Yeah, you have some. You have your help and your strength. You said, "Preacher, oh, I'm going through a divorce and I don't have a family." Guess what? Oh, guess what? Oh, you can go through that divorce, and you better start praying that God will send you somebody else to be a helpmate, and you can make it through. Oh, you can get through. Oh, your handicapped time, your handicapped moments. But you got to realize that you got to use what's left behind you. You got to use everything that God has given you. Oh, if you're blind, oh, you still have ears. If you're blind, oh, you still have a mouth. Oh, you may be blind, but you still have a mind. God has not left you destitute. Hello, somebody. Somebody came tonight feeling destitute. But you better learn from this beggar on the side of the road. You better learn who Jesus is. I still don't think that we really know who Jesus is. And I believe that this beggar, who was somebody's son, studied the Word of God. Otherwise, how can you figure out why he had such a reaction to who Jesus was? But I believe that he had a Bible study, and he had been studying the book of Isaiah. He may have been studying Isaiah 61. Where Jesus talks about being able, the Spirit of the Lord being on him, and being able to set the captives free and the prisoners from prison. I believe he may have studied this text that we have listed tonight, Isaiah 42, starting with verse 6, and it says, and I are talking of the Messiah, and this is the book of Isaiah, talks about the coming Messiah and his power and what he's able to do. It says, and I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for my people, a light for the Gentiles. And verse 7 says, and to open eyes that are blind, and to free the captives from prisoners. I believe that his daddy or his mama must have read him that day, if not that day, Sunday, about a Messiah. And I believe that he had heard about Jesus, and that he was the Messiah. And I believe because he had been in a Bible study and he learned about the coming Messiah, I believe that when they told him that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that's what triggered his reaction. Oh, Jesus, the coming Messiah that has the power to open the eyes of the blind, is always just coming by. Oh, you better know your Bible. You need to get in that book and learn it for yourself. Because one day you'll run across a passage and you'll realize that you're in what people call a kairos moment. It's a time of opportunity. And then when you know the book, oh, you'll be able to know your circumstances. And you'll be able to realize, oh, that Jesus of Nazareth, oh, the one man, the one Messiah walking this earth, that has the answer to my problem. He has the answer to my problem. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Messiah, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Oh, some of you better realize, it's God that you serve. Well, this same Jesus is still alive today. He's sitting at the right hand side of the Father, and he's listening. Oh, for your cries. Oh, some of you will stay blind because you don't have enough sense to know who Jesus is. You don't read the book enough to open your eyes that you may see. You better get in that book, because there's going to come a time when that book meets your kairos moment, and you better know how to react. You better know how to respond. You better know how to take what he's left behind and use it to get what you want. In Jesus' name. Oh, this was the Messiah that just happened by. I thought it was going to be just an ordinary day of begging. I thought I was going to have to stay in my quiet desperation. I didn't have any hope. But I had read somewhere about a Messiah. And I had read that he has the power to open the eyes of the blind. And this Jesus of Nazareth just happened by today. Just happened by. We call it sovereignty. We call it providence. Oh, it wasn't me being in a lucky place. It was a plan of God. And God knew how much I had been praying for my sight. I was begging on the side of the road every day. But even as I was begging for men, I was begging God to help me. To help me, to give me my sight back. For I knew what it was like to see. I knew what it was like to look up in the sky and see the beautiful colors of a rainbow. I knew what it's like to look on the face of a child that's smiling back at me. I knew what it was like, and I had lost it. But on this day, when Jesus happened by, I would gain what I lost. Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You'd have thought that the people around him would have been happy for him. You'd have thought that they would have encouraged him because he was blind. But in every Kairos moment, the devil is there trying to make you miss your opportunity. In every sovereign providential moment, the devil is there trying to stop you. And this is why we talk about the vision of the obstacles. It says in verse 39, those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. That's some folk the devil is trying to use to get us to be quiet. The church and building a building. Folk are trying to say, be quiet, but many of us realize and have a vision for an opportunity. Many of us realize that this is the time to move. But there are some folk who are saying, hush, be quiet. We can do what we need to do with this building. Hush, be quiet. Oh, but God says that we're going to have to overcome the obstacles. They told him, rebuked him. It's just a spiritual terminology. Rebuked him. They didn't just tell him off. That's what the pious would do. They rebuked him. They go back there and sit down somewhere. They don't take all of that. Go sit down. Just be quiet. Put your hands down in the service. It don't take all of that, preacher. Don't cry in the service when the Spirit moves you. It don't take all of that, preacher. Stay behind the pulpit, preacher. It don't take all of that, preacher. Oh, and they're telling us, trying to tell us, to be quiet. But some of us know what the book says, and some of us know about the God that we serve. And because we know what the book says, and because we know what the Bible says, and we know who he is, we cannot be quiet. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, I can't be quiet. I can't be quiet. Oh no, this is Jesus, the Messiah, who just happened by tonight. I can't be quiet. You're trying to rebuke me, trying to hush me up. As a matter of fact, you're trying to hush me up, but I'm going to just get louder. I'm going to get louder. I'm going to keep talking about, hey, we can take the land. We can do it. God is with us. It is as God says it is. We sent the spies out, and they came back with a good report. The land is flowing with milk and honey, and God says that we can have it. And if God says it, that settles it, and that's it. I don't want to know about any obstacles. I don't want to know anything about no obstacles. All I have to know is about the God that I serve. And because I serve that God, I can go in and I can take fortified cities. I can go in and I can beat up giants. I can go in and I can take the hard country. I can go in. Oh, I can go in because God says that He's already gone before me. And because He's already gone before me, I got to try to keep up with God. He's already done it. I just got to catch Him up. Hello, somebody. Hello. So, no, I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to always tell you, to the day I die, we need to go in. We need to live out the promises of God on our lives. We can do it. We can do it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. I'm about to get loud up in here. I'm about to get loud. Because the devil wants me to be quiet. The devil don't want me to say, oh, what God says. Oh, but you know what? That devil is a liar. Because Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I can already see, and you trying to take my voice. Hello, somebody. And by taking my voice, you're trying to take my vision. Hello, somebody. Because you can't have vision without sight. Hello, somebody. That's what faith is. Hello, somebody. Vision without sight. And they were trying to hush him up, a strategic plan formed against him, because if they could get him to hush up, he could have missed out on his opportunity. But you know, the doors of opportunity, they may open, but guess what? If you don't take advantage of them, close. If this man would have let and listened to the people, he would have been the one in the blind. He had the most to benefit from it. And he would have been in the blind the rest of his life still. They tried to quiet him. Yeah, well, that is, I talked about Sunday, it's x-ray vision, but the audacity of faith. This is the audacity of failure. And you know, some folk don't like to see you do better. But yet, you go to their households. They're probably in a new house.
Right.
Hello, somebody. You ain't in the house you always been in.
Right.
Probably driving a new car. Got new TVs. Some real good surround sound. Hello, somebody. Got new clothes. I want the church to sit destitute with nothing new. Hello, somebody. Yeah, that's good enough. I have a witness. You know, I fail. This is just a little brief, little kind of just a testimony. Just a, it might not mean much to you, but I fail. I fail my wife. Because my wife been trying to get us to get a new TV for the last 4 years. Every year. I said, nah, we don't need no new TV. But this year, evidently, she must have prayed or something. This year. I said, oh, you know, I still don't think we don't need no new TV. But I'm not going to stop you. If you want to get a new TV. Boy, that new TV, boy, is nice, boy. He got a bigger screen. I was looking at flat screen. I'm like, wow, boy. Wow. And I can do more with it. I can hook my computer into it. Hello, somebody. Now I got a whole big old computer screen, too. Hello, somebody. It's no, I was shooting myself in the foot. God has her in my life because I don't ever want anything new to teach you. If I had a little old phone, like, this flip phone is good enough for me. It's been good enough for me. All I need to do is to talk on this. I don't need. She got me an Ebo boy, and I'm doing all kinds of things. Hello, somebody. Simply because it's new. I mean, all kind of, I do so many different things with that. Gives me a internet hotspot anywhere I go. I get lost. It got a GPS. I'm in the dark at the church. It has a flashlight on it. Hello, somebody. And it's new. Sometimes we like to sit in the dark. They don't want to do nothing new. And then we'll make other folk miss out on their opportunities. Hello, somebody. But you better not miss out on your opportunities. There's a text that says, behold, God is doing a new thing. And God is trying to do a new thing here at this church. Hello, somebody. Trying to get us modern. Hello, somebody. As modern as we are in our homes. Hello, somebody. Don't say hush. Say let's go. Let's do it! God says we can do it. It's Jesus. And this sovereign moment. It's Jesus. in this providential time to see us that's coming by right now in your life? Are you going to cry for him? Or are you just going to let him walk by? And stay in your darkness. I believe it's James. Either 4:2 or 2:4. Of course, my dyslexia is getting mixed up. But it says, you have not because you ask not. This is a prayer meeting tonight. Which means Jesus of Nazareth is coming by.
Yes, sir.
We pray in Jesus' name. Why don't you take the time tonight and don't just let this opportunity pass you by? What is it that God says that you can have? Because James does talk about asking for stuff with wrong motives. What is it that God says you can have tonight? He's coming by. We're entering in the holiday season, and we have little children thinking that Santa Claus has power. And we tell them, just make out your list, little Johnny. Make out your list. And Santa Claus can get it for you. And you know what? You'll get that list. And because little Johnny is your grandbaby, because little Johnny is your child, guess what? You're going to try to get it for him. If it's not anything that's bad. Don't you know you have a heavenly Father? Santa Claus don't have nothing on him.
Hold on.
Why don't you try him? Ask him. He's coming by. Why don't you try him? Why don't you ask him tonight? Don't let this opportunity pass you by. You can't have vision without sight. Because that's what faith is. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight, Lord, just wanted to thank you and to praise your holy name, Father. As we've learned from this man by the name of Bartimaeus, Father. This man that sat on the side of the road and appeared to be an unimpressive beggar. Appeared to be handicapped. From his life, he gives us the key for us to stop being spiritually handicapped. He gives us the key and an example. And just because we can't see it with our eyes, don't mean that we can't have it. And that's faith, Father. And there's somebody tonight, Lord, that needs this same kind of faith and needs to realize that they serve the same Jesus. This Jesus of Nazareth, this same Jesus that Bartimaeus must have studied about in the Old Testament and realized when he was walking by that this wasn't just any Jesus, this was the Messiah. And as a result, he had to leave his life of quiet desperation and sing his song and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And there's somebody here tonight that wants to cry out to you out of their quiet desperation, and they want to sing that same song tonight. Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my bank account. Have mercy on my children. Have mercy on those who my 10 most wanted in the box. Have mercy on my marriage. Have mercy with me at work. As I try to make a living, have mercy, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. the only one who has the power to have mercy. Somebody tonight is crying out to you. They're no longer silent. They've learned from your word that they have not because they ask not. Tonight they're going to take you at your word, and by the example of blind Bartimaeus, really he should be defined as seeing Bartimaeus now. Father, I believe that somebody came here in the dark, but they're leaving tonight seeing. In Jesus' name. Father God, I pray, Lord, for each and every one of our individual stresses, each and every one of our individual trials, each and every one of our individual tribulations, because we know that the devil is busy and he has been opposing us, trying to keep us quiet. But we want to overcome our obstacles tonight and see the opportunity and take advantage of the opportunity as individuals. But not only that, but we as a church want to come by, oh, you tonight, and cry out to you and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when you call us and ask us, what do we want as a church? And we can say, Lord, we want to see a new building. A place where we can glorify you. A place that can be modern. A place that can equip us to impact people even more with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Help us to stop being quiet on us on this issue. Help us each to start talking about this. To help us to start giving to this issue. Help us, to be about our Father's business for such a time as now. We can discern it, Father, that it is time. And we want to take advantage of this opportunity because you are God. And God alone, in Jesus' name. And you're going to do it not for us, but for your glory. And Lord, it may not be for us anyway. Father, because we realize how you're working and moving in the life of the youth within our church. And they are getting saved, giving their life to Jesus Christ, being baptized, learning your word and studying. And you have set them on fire. And we might just be building for them, Father. We might be building for our grandbabies, Lord. We might be building for our children. When they turn their life around and right, they're going to have a place to come and worship. And it's going to be a modern place. So, Father God, we cry out to you tonight, saying, Lord, do it. Do it. Right now. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name. We lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Pause right now for those who feel led to pray.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program.
Yes.
And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love, believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem again. We're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today, and I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home, and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Bethlehem.